Good day, and welcome to the iPRO Clinical Strategies to Improve Patient Outcomes conference call. This call is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to Ms. Chris Stiegel. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Clinical Strategies to Improve Patient Outcomes teleconference. This morning, we're going to be focusing on rapid cycle improvement, and I hope everyone did have a wonderful Christmas holiday and enjoyed their long weekend. This presentation is being recorded and will be posted to the iPro website along with the other postings that we've done of the other teleconferences. All your lines have been muted and will be open for a question and answer session after the presentation. This morning we are going to discuss rapid cycle improvement. The agencies who are part of the REACH Collaborative have already been introduced to this strategy because the REACH Collaborative requested agencies to choose a specific target group to test strategies. And the strategies they tested were developing a risk assessment to use for patients and identifying a care plan, a high-risk care plan, to address specific patient risk factors and to implement that within 5 calendar days of start of care or resumption of care. And they also had to count the number of agency clinical contacts for patients who were at high risk and for patients who were not at high risk. So in order for those agencies to see improvements within the first 2 to 3 months within their target group, they had to implement the rapid cycle improvement strategies. Let's look back a little bit to the history of the OBQI process. Back in 2001 through 2003, iPRO trained agencies in the OBQI process, and agencies were instructed to establish an OBQI team. They were asked to meet monthly and implement a plan of action. Then they waited about 6 to 12 months before they could check their CASPER reports and in their chosen outcome to see if the improvement occurred or not. Agencies were trained to develop and implement an action plan within 4 to 6 weeks. They found that it very difficult to achieve this aim by meeting monthly. It usually took agencies several months to develop and implement a plan of action, and then after 6 to 12 months, very often they found that their plan was not effective, and they didn't see improvement in their outcome measure. By incorporating rapid cycle improvement into an agency's OBQI process, an agency will know whether the best practices that they are implementing are impacting their outcome measure quickly and also improving patient care. So the objective for today's presentation are to define rapid cycle improvement, describe the benefit in utilizing rapid cycle improvement in the OBQI process, and then provide a couple of examples using the rapid cycle improvement method. So if you go to the third slide, let's just take a minute to review the steps of the OBQI process in the context of the 8th scope of work. Most everyone is familiar with the OBQI circle. This circle is a drawing that outlines the steps of the OBQI process. The first step for all agencies is to formally establish the OBQI team. Excuse me. Your agency collects and transmits OASIS data on a daily basis. That data is aggregated by CMS, who updates monthly the CASPER reports. We are more familiar with them, known as the risk adjusted and descriptive outcome reports and the case mix profile. We provide you with updated trend reports monthly, and those trend reports are generated from the same OASIS data. Agencies can examine their CASPER or trend reports and see if their targeted outcome is improving, or some agencies use other methods to track improvements. They contract with outside agencies like Outcomes Concept Systems or OCS, and those contracted vendors provide the agencies with monthly outcome reports. What's important is to decide what reports will be used to interpret your agency outcomes, and then use them consistently to track improvement and stick with those reports, because any improvements that you'll eventually see will be evident in all your agency reports. For the A scope of work, we have requested agencies to concentrate on the acute care hospitalization measure and the oral medications measures. Agencies who were part of the clinical identified participant group could choose another measure besides the oral medication measure to focus on. So now we have covered the first four steps of the OBQI circle. The majority of agencies use clinical record audits to investigate their care processes. But there are other ways agencies can perform this action. Some other ways might be via staff interviews or discussions with staff during staff meetings. If the team knows the agency is not performing a task, which occurred when agencies knew they were not identifying patients who are at high risk for rehospitalization and did not have an emergency care plan, or historically it has been a problem, such as physicians sending patients to the ER when called with a patient change in condition, then the team can quickly move through the investigate care processes step because they already know and have identified the problem. Once the problems are identified, the OBQI team can establish the agency standards or the best practices. Then they develop strategies that will ensure that the best practices are implemented. The rapid cycle improvement method is used during the two following steps: implement action plan and monitoring the plan of action. It breaks down the implementation of the best practices into smaller steps. By breaking down the implementation of the best practices, it helps in reducing the agency's natural resistance to change. Usually agencies find implementing a change within a smaller group is easier, and revisions can occur more timely or the same day. Monitoring is easier because monitoring a smaller group is easier than monitoring a larger group. Also, monitoring can occur in more real time through focused conversations in conjunction with clinical record audits. Because changes are small and incremental, staff tolerates them better. Also, staff are more willing to test a change when they know that the changes can be modified or revised quickly. So think of utilizing the rapid cycle improvement during the steps of implement the action plan and monitor the action plan. Go to the next slide. The improvement model is an evidence-based strategy that provides a framework for improvement. In order for the improvement to occur, change is necessary. The model was developed by the Associates in Process Improvement Group. The model is not intended to replace your change models or strategies already established within your organization, but to accelerate improvement. Rapid cycle improvement occurs by using the improvement model to implement the intervention and monitoring actions of the plan of action. It uses these three questions: what are we trying to accomplish? How will we know that a change is an improvement? What changes can we make that will result in improvement? They also use these questions along with a series of PDSA cycles, plan, do, study, act cycles, to achieve improvement. The PDSA cycles apply knowledge that is learned during one PDSA cycle to apply during the next PDSA cycle. Senior leadership support is imperative to this process. They show their support by adding the improvement goal to the agency's strategic goals for the annual strategic goals. That makes this improvement project a priority for the agency. They also must be ready to make decisions to move the team forward if the team has met a wall or they aren't able to get out of the comfort zone. They don't want to change the status quo. They also are very important to monitor the team's progress. They need to drop into team meetings to make sure that progress is being made and things are moving forward. They also need to allow additional resources, such as identifying a lead person for the OBQI project, because that lead person will coordinate the small rapid cycle improvements. They need to remember and also celebrate successes and also provide personal expressions of appreciation. It's very important for senior leadership to identify that improvements are being made and to recognize that. They also help team members to link the improvement to overall patient care, so to for them to see the bigger picture. And they do assist the team in breaking down barriers to change within the agency. I have provided you with the IHI website because this website has clear, easy, and specific information about the improvement model and how it has been applied in many healthcare organizations to improve patient outcomes and improve their quality of care. Now we will break down each question and link it to a step within the OBQI process. So if you go to the next slide, the first question, what are we trying to accomplish? This incorporates the first four steps of the OBQI process: collect and transmit data, measure patient outcomes, interpret outcome reports, and specify target outcome. By asking this question, the OBQI team is establishing the overall goals of the plans. They're discussing what results should be expected, as well as identifying a clear aim for the project. And go to the next slide. How will we know that a change is an improvement? This question incorporates the next two steps of the OBQI process: investigate care processes and identify problems, strengths, and best practices. It also incorporates measurement. It is impossible to know whether improvement has occurred without examining what is currently happening and what changes are necessary to make. Another word for measurement is monitoring. Discuss what data needs to be collected and measured. Measurement can be related to the overall outcome or how the service is currently being received by patients and how that needs to be different, or how a process or procedure within your agency might change. Measurement is used for learning rather than for rewards or punishment. And the learning is applied sequentially through the PDSA cycles. Do you want to go to the next slide, please? What changes can we make that will result in improvement? Incorporates the next three steps: develop the plan of action, implement the plan of action, and monitor the plan of action. Think about evidence-based practice and what other agencies have done that could be tried. This step challenges the status quo. Idea sharing is important and encouraged during this time, because those ideas may be helpful in developing the initial small test of change or PDSA cycles that will be required during the implementation of the plan. In rapid cycle improvement, best practices are implemented by pilot testing with 1 to 2 clinicians or within one team versus the whole agency. It is easier to test changes within a smaller group. Data measurement is easier with less people, as I said earlier. It's easier to meet more frequently to discuss the impact of the changes and also to modify them as necessary. Again, I say apply the knowledge that is learned in the first PDSA cycle and apply it to the next PDSA cycle. This way, the improvement process is accelerated. Also, during this step, the data that will be measured is solidified and outcome and process measures are established. You have to think about what can we change. If it's Monday, the beginning of the week, you have to think about what can we change by Wednesday, change and implement by Wednesday, and then measure that by Friday. So you're really speeding up this process. Do you want to go to the next slide? When using the rapid cycle improvement method or approach, it is essential to decide how the team wants to choose how to pilot test. Think about, within your agency, staff members who like to try new things. Or is it a supervisor that likes to try new things within her team? These are the people that you'll identify to pilot test the best practices, and they will become your staff champions when spreading the best practices to the rest of the organization. It's best to identify a subcommittee of your OBQI team to coordinate the rapid cycle testing and the pilot testing. When you identify a subcommittee, it's important to identify a lead person to coordinate all of the activities of this subcommittee. This person is responsible to ensure that the rapid cycle testing occurs and really to keep everyone focused and on track. The lead person helps the team design the initial PDSA cycles to reduce the complexity of the changes. The team members are encouraged to test their ideas in a variety of situations. Nothing is wrong. The lead person coordinates all the measurement of data and assists the team in interpreting the data. This approach is very flexible and requires living with some ambiguity for a time. The subcommittee measures just enough information to see results of the pilot testing. There's not a set amount of records that need to be reviewed or a set amount of patients that it needs to be tested on. Measurement can be completed during the small frequent meetings or huddles by getting the response of the clinical staff that is pilot testing the best practices. Measurement is focused on what is being tested only. So if you're only using two staff members to pilot test the changes, then you only measure those two staff members are doing. During rapid cycle testing, it is essential for the subcommittee to meet frequently. The frequent meetings or huddles occur as often as necessary, but at least 1 to 2 times a week. They last for about 15 to 20 minutes, and their purpose is really to review what has been implemented or tested so far, did it work, and if not, why not, and how can we revise or modify it so it will work and make it manageable. It's very important to get what the experience for the staff members are in implementing them. Ask what we have learned and what the result is or the measurement. The huddle can occur via the telephone, but it is imperative to get the feedback from the clinical staff testing the best practices. So it's imperative that the clinical staff is part of this subcommittee of the OBQI team. It's also the responsibility of the lead person to report back to the full OBQI team when they meet on a monthly basis. The reason why that we say to use a smaller number of people or a subcommittee is because it's easier for maybe 3 to 4 people to meet together as opposed to 8 or 9 or 10 people to meet together, which may compose the whole OBQI team. So in summary, rapid cycle improvement is testing out small changes, tweaking the system, testing again, talking about and taking action immediately or today. I'm on slide number 10. So now we're going to go into a few, a couple of the handouts were sample plans of actions. So if you want to take out the first plan of action related to acute care hospitalization, and this agency was using it for remediation, and they had, when you start looking, before you look at the plan, start asking the questions, what are we trying to accomplish? So when we ask those questions, we're trying to accomplish a reduction in patient rehospitalizations. We've identified that we want to work with physician offices, and we want them to respond to clinicians' telephone calls either the same day or within 24 hours. And we want the physician to provide another response other than send the patient to the emergency room. So we've identified the problems. And we're identifying the problems within the agency, not really the problem within the physician office. So what we think about, what can the agency do to change what they're currently, how they're currently practicing to get the physician to respond differently? So we identified the problem. When the clinicians call the patient's physician with a change in patient's condition, the physician instructs the clinician to send the patient to the ER. That was one of the problems. And then the other is the physician's office does not always return clinician's phone calls the same day when the clinician reports a patient-related clinical issue. Now we start looking at the next question. How will we know that a change is an improvement? And we start thinking along the line, what will tell us that changes will make things better? What will tell us that the changes will make things better? And how will we measure that change? So we think about patients who are experiencing a change in condition will have new physician orders. So we're going to start monitoring that when patients have a change in condition, they'll have new physician orders or verbal orders. Also, patients will more likely receive more clinical contacts or more visits. So we're going to measure these visits. We're also going to look at the hospitalization rate for these specific patients. And we're the other thing that we're going to increase case conferencing with supervision. And we're going to do this by implementing the best practices. And the best practices that we identified are when the clinician telephones the physician with a change in patient's condition, she will inform the physician's office up front that we are starting, that our agency's goal is to keep the patient out of the hospital. So we really would like to discuss with you something besides sending the patient to the ER. And we're also going to, when we call, provide the physician with recommendations on how to address the patient's clinical issue. And we're, if you think back to a prior teleconference, this is very similar to implementing the SBAR, or the Situation Background Assessment and Recommendation procedure with the physician offices. So the second best practice is all communications with physicians, with patient's physician, will include the reason the clinician is calling the physician's office, a brief explanation, a brief history of pertinent patient-related clinical information, the clinician's assessment and impression, and then what the clinician thinks is happening, and then their recommendations, and the follow-up that can be expected. So the clinician not only provides what they would like to see from the physician, but they also tell the physician what the agency is able to do and how they can respond to the patient as well as respond to possible questions the physician will have as follow-up to that patient, the response to their change in orders. Also, at the same time, the clinician will notify their supervisor when a patient's status has deteriorated and the patient's physician has been called. So then we look at the intervention actions and the monitoring stage and ask, what changes can we make that will lead to an improvement? And we've identified that we've reviewed the best practices, so we're implementing the SBAR strategy for physician communication. We're providing a very structured communication method when we are contacting the physician. We are going to develop an SBAR cheat sheet for the agency for clinicians to use. And we will also, the agency is also going to be identifying the top 10 referring physicians. Now, this agency happened to have in their annual plan that they had, or their annual agency strategy, that they had wanted to implement a new orthopedic program. And so when they decided to identify physicians to contact, they wanted to identify at least one orthopedic group practice. They also had, this agency also had an established cardiac program, and they had just implemented telehealth. So they wanted to also to contact a top cardiac physician practice that happened to be a top referral source. So this is how they can incorporate their plan of action into their agency annual strategies. They also identified as a subcommittee for the rapid cycle testing the QI manager for the lead person for the subcommittee, an agency supervisor that supervised the telehealth program, two clinical staff RNs who would implement the SBAR communication strategy with physicians. And because they were identifying an orthopedic physician who was a top referral source, they identified one physical therapist that would be part of the subcommittee of the OBQI team also. So while they were identifying the top referring physicians, they were also identifying the nurses and the physical therapists who would be part of piloting the new program. That physical therapist would specifically target the orthopedic practice. And while the training was occurring with the SBAR within the staff that was pilot testing, the administrator developed and sent a letter to those top 10 referring physicians, and there was a follow-up of a telephone call by the director of patient services to meet with those physicians and or the office manager or the office nurse. So you can see a little bit on how you can start implementing the rapid cycle improvement, how things can happen very quickly by setting the time frames for the starting of the intervention action and then the finishing. And you see what the monitoring approaches are. And because the subcommittee is meeting 1 to 2 times a week, they are able to track what is being accomplished, and if it's not being accomplished, why, and they can maybe reassign or maybe readjust their who is doing a certain task, or identify reasons why that the changes are not occurring as scheduled. Okay, and they can also, the lead person can be a facilitator of communication between different departments, because you can see one of the intervention actions, E, was a staff champion will be trained on the SBAR, and that was using the staff education department. So it was important for that, for the subcommittee to communicate to the staff education department right away that the SBAR procedure, and so they would be able to develop the education program. When the nurses started contacting the physician offices and using the SBAR technique, a cheat sheet was developed. And during the implementation of the SBAR communication, that cheat sheet needed to be revised several times to be more specific, to provide prompts for the staff members in what information needed to be gathered before they made the telephone calls. And so from the patient's record or from the supervisor, and those prompts were additional changes or revisions to the cheat sheet that would eventually be finalized and spread across the agency for other clinicians to use. So you can kind of see through the rapid cycle improvement and this example, how the rapid cycle testing can be implemented for improving your acute care hospitalization measure and improving physicians' communication. Let's just look at another example. Look at the plan. Let's pull out the plan, improvement in the management of oral medications. And this, again, was for remediation. And when we first asked, what are we trying to accomplish? We're trying to standardize. We identified the problems, and we're trying to standardize the assessment method for clinicians in measuring the patient's ability to manage their oral medications. We're also trying to improve the overall oral medications outcome measure. And we're also trying to increase the therapy utilization when problems with medication management is identified. So if we review the problems that we found, we found that at start of care and resumption of care, the clinicians are not accurately assessing the patient's abilities to manage their medications. And the second problem was clinicians were not implementing effective care planning strategies when problems are noted with patients' ability to manage their oral medications. And if we move on to the second question, how will we know that a change is an improvement? We'll know that by implementing the best practices. And the best practices that we're trying to implement is at start of care and resumption of care, the clinician will use the medication assessment protocol to assess the patient's ability to manage their medications. And the second best practice is at start of care and resumption of care, the clinician will have the patient complete the managing your medications questionnaire at the initial visit. And the third one was the clinician will use the oral medications care planning tool to evaluate the need for ancillary referrals and services. So what we're trying to monitor and measure during this phase is to to see increased referrals to therapy services. We're also going to, in the with the clinicians who will be pilot testing this, looking for improvement in this outcome measure for those patients. Also, the clinician, during initial case conferencing with the supervisors, will be able to specifically and clearly articulate the patient's problems with medications and appropriate interventions that will be added to the care plan. So, and we'll also be looking for a completed managing your medications questionnaire to be completed at the second visit. Okay, so when we ask the third question, what changes can we make that will lead to an improvement, that's when we start looking at the intervention actions and the monitoring approaches that will be implemented. And I just want to look at one specific intervention action, and that was the implementation of the managing your medications questionnaire for the patients to complete. And it was to be completed, it would, what the subcommittee or the clinicians who were pilot testing this, initially it was going to be in the starter care packet and left with the patient to have them complete by the second visit. But in actuality, when that occurred, the clinicians found that questionnaire was not being completed by the patient by the second visit, and that they had to really review it with the patient step by step. So what they, their idea they brought back to the subcommittee was, let's have the patient complete this questionnaire at the same, during the time that we are completing the medication list and going over recording all the medications that the patient is taking, because usually during that time the patient is just sitting there and not really doing anything. So they opted that the patient could complete this questionnaire on the first visit, and then they would take it with them and they would have an opportunity to review it prior to their second visit so they could really focus their medication teaching on their second visit, and it readily identified where they needed to focus that teaching. So that was a way that this agency use the small test of change to improve a use of this questionnaire. And all of these materials that were used in the best practices were provided to agencies in the oral medication planning packet that was sent to agencies last winter, I think, in the February, March, April time frame. So these are the examples. If I'm going to go on to the next slide, slide 11, just to be a little bit more clear about how we used the huddle or how to use the huddle when you're doing the rapid cycle improvement. And it really is the responsibility of the lead person to be the facilitator and to be the organizer of the huddle and really sets the format of the huddle. And it's important for the lead person to have extra time to focus their attention on what is being tested, what the response of that test, what are the changes that need to be implemented, so they're planning for the next cycle and maybe planning a couple of cycles ahead. It's also very important for this the idea sharing to occur. So that lead person really kind of is the catalyst for investigating what is occurring, how is it being done, is it working or not working. Remember that the huddles last 15 to 20 minutes. It's not a long process. It is really focused on what's occurring at that time on that specific PDSA cycle and then moving on. So if you're implementing something on Tuesday, you may huddle on Thursday, and then that change or that revision is decided upon during the huddle, and then it moves on and can be implemented the same day by those staff members that are pilot testing. So, and as I said before, it can be done by telephone, and it really reviews the revisions of the new process or tools. Those revisions can be acted on quickly, and it's really a real-time review of the implementation of the best practices. And the goal, again, the goal is to apply what is being learned and to measure the impact. So the benefits for, as a review, the benefits for rapid cycle improvement are to revise procedures as needed and easily, to have, because it is identifying what is not working early and revisions are able to be made very quickly, it doesn't allow enough time for staff to create workarounds for what is not manageable. So instead of implementing something for a month and finding out a month later it's not manageable, so staff has done a workaround and has revised the procedure, maybe not in the best way, but all different ways, this really squashes that. It's easy to discuss why things are not working and to generate solutions to make the changes manageable for the staff that's pilot testing. So when the change is spread to the rest of, to more staff members or the rest of the agency, it is in the finalized stage and all of the kinks, I guess, have been worked out. Let's go to slide 12. So let's just take a moment to review monitoring and review the essentials of measurement or monitoring of the plan of action, because that's one of the things that we find is the most difficult for agencies, but it's also the most important to identify that your change is impacting the way you want it to. Remember, I previously said that measurement is the same as monitoring, and it is essential for knowing whether the best practices are effective in improving your outcome measure. There are really two types of measures that need to be collected during the project, and they are outcome measures and process measures. The outcome measures will evaluate whether the changes that have been implemented have an impact on the targeted outcome measure. So it's really on the overall project or the overall outcome. Another way of saying it is your outcome measures tell you the changes being made are leading to improvement. Process measures evaluate whether the best practice or strategies and actions are having the intended effect. So they are really measuring the specific tool that's being implemented, if it's being completed, or if there needs to be a new process created, or maybe something needs to be taken away. That is really measuring that those specific processes. The monitoring activities relate to completion of the intervention actions and ensure that the best practices are consistently incorporated into patient care. If the monitoring results indicate the best practices are not improving the outcome rate, then during the pilot testing, those best practices can be revised to and quickly tested to see if that revisions improve the outcome. Real-time monitoring of the overall outcome measure provides information on ways the plan can enhance the improvement, meaning that if you, for the acute care hospitalization measure, you want to monitor patients, you want to not only monitor the patients that are having the changes applied, changes in care applied to them, but you also want to monitor the patients who are being rehospitalized, because that will tell you, will provide you information on how that plan of action can be revised in the future, or how maybe the best practices need to be adjusted in incorporating more patients for improvement. So going to the next slide, I'm on slide 13. In summary, Rapid Cycle Improvement collects information on an ongoing basis through through measurement and a series by measuring a series of PDSA cycles. The process requires more time up front for implementation. That's why it's so important for senior leadership support, but it accelerates improvement efforts, and you see results quickly, so you get excited also. That generates excitement also within the team. Remember, the plan of action is a dynamic tool that, when completed, is not put into a notebook and not looked again for another year or so, but it is used during the testing of the best practices, and it's revised and modified as needed. So you need to look at what is being tested and look at the plan of action and use that tool to record your tests, as well as record your revisions and what has worked and what hasn't worked. So you can use the experiences during the pilot testing when you look to spread the changes throughout the agency, because you'll be able to answer all the questions or all the reasons or barriers to the changes that the rest of the staff may have. And use your pilot testing clinicians as champions and have them help assist in that education as you spread. So, Malia, you want to open the lines for questions?
Yes, ma'am. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please do by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment.
Chris, I just want to point out, for the people that are on the call, this is Sarah, and are thinking that this just isn't applicable to home care and we wouldn't be able to do this within our agency. Chris shared with you early on in the call that the agencies that were involved in the REACH project, this was a requirement for them. They were working on a very short time frame, and they actually made this process work. Such was the same also for the agencies that were involved in the acute care hospitalization pilot project back in March. We brought them together the very last days of March, and they actually developed a plan, did the PDSA cycle. They were able to carry it out and also do the monitoring piece in a very, very short time frame, because remember, the acute care hospitalization pilot project went from March to July. So those agencies really had to get up running, decide what they were going to do, implement it, and monitor it, and do the cycle. So the majority of you on today's call already have plans of action. You've educated your staff on why you're focused on acute care hospitalization. So I think if you really think about this and look at the components of your plan of action or other additional problems that you've identified, that this process really is applicable and doable for you. So I just wanted to point that out, because it may seem overwhelming, but it is definitely something that is achievable from the home health agency perspective.
Again, that is star 1 to ask a question, star 1, and at this time we do not have any questions.
Okay, I must have made things very clear during the presentation, or you're all still recuperating from Christmas. But anyway, since there are no questions, we are available to assist agencies to work through this process individually, if you would like, as well as be resources during your PDSA cycles, and call in via telephone if you would like to apply these principles. The other thing, at this point, Malia, we can end the teleconference portion of this call.
Okay.
And would the agencies please